The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Max Altshuler, the author of the book Hacking Sales. Welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast.
Welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast, helping you keep up with the smartest thinking in the quickly changing field of modern marketing. And now, here's your host, Douglas Burdett.
Hello, thanks for joining me on the Marketing Book Podcast. My goal in this podcast is to help you discover new ideas about what's working in modern marketing. Don't worry about taking notes. You can find links to everything discussed in the show notes at marketingbookpodcast.com. Today, I'm joined by Max Altshuler, and we're going to talk about his new book, Hacking Sales, The Playbook for Building a High-Velocity Sales Machine. Max Altshuler has been an entrepreneur his whole life and learned sales at an early age from his dad, a certified financial planner. His entrepreneurial journey led him to San Francisco to work for an online education company called Udemy, in which he was the first sales hire and built the process that launched the instructor side of the platform. Udemy raised a $32 million Series C round of funding with a valuation in the hundreds of millions. After Udemy, Max helped build the attorney fee marketplace as the VP of business development and left after their acquisition by LegalZoom. He started Sales Hacker Incorporated, which is his current day job, to help with other startups with fewer resources to sell their products and services to large corporations. Max, congratulations on Hacking Sales and welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Douglas. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so this, no surprise here, this is the Marketing Book Podcast. Lots of marketers are listening who want to keep up with modern marketing and be more effective marketers. I think one of the most important things marketers can never learn enough about is sales. So if every other interview I did was with someone who wrote a sales book, I think I'd be doing my job. So that's the background. I'd like you to explain, I don't know, do you agree with that? Or
Yeah, I mean the whole process really that we go into and that we've kind of popularized, I guess, is what it really is, what it really boils down to is turning outbound into inbound. And so, you know, marketers, I'm sure, have experience with, you know, running ads, online ads on Facebook or Google or whatever ad platform. And the process behind that is very similar to the process that we've created for outbound sales, where, you know, you're, you know, if you look at the steps for, you know, generating one of those ads, they make you build a target audience. They make you pick your messaging, your image, and your call to action and your goals for that, you know, for that ad. And then you put a, you know, the, you put a, you know, price on it per click. And then you run those. And, you know, a lot of the times there's not a lot of transparency in that. And, you know, there's only so much targeting you can actually do. You know, it's, you know, if you run a Facebook ad and you're selling to salespeople, well, you know, your the VPs of sales aren't necessarily going to be sitting on Facebook for one and two, you know, it lets you target by age range and location and a few other things, but there's a lot more you can do with kind of the data that's available to salespeople now and to marketers that wasn't available to them before that allows you to get more granular in choosing that audience. We call it the ideal customer profile. And so really what we're doing is, you know, things that marketers have been doing for a long time, but we're doing it in a different way. We're doing it in a targeted outreach, which is why it's on the sales side. So it's definitely a mix of, you know, we called it sales hacking because it was a mix of, you know, things that marketers have been doing for a long time, things that salespeople have been doing for a long time. And it's really how do you generate more revenue using less resources, leveraging the tools and the data that are available to you that weren't available to you, you know, even 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Data is cheaper and more accessible than it ever has been. And people are finally starting to build for salespeople. VCs are finally starting to put money into products for salespeople, recognizing that, you know, I guess they keep the lights on at these, you know, companies that are IPOing at an extremely fast pace. I think we've had more IPOs in 2014 than any year, tech IPOs than any year in previous history. And then 2015 set to outpace that. So somebody's got to be selling those products. And
at the beginning of the book, you talk about how it's not the best product. And a great sales team can make or break some of these companies.
Yeah.
But let me back up and ask you if you could explain to the listener the first seven words of your book, which are, "The world of sales is blowing up."
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? And what, when you explain that to other people, what do you tell them?
Yeah. So that, you know, it's pretty much that. The sales profession was, you know, think about the word salesy. You know, it has a negative connotation. The sales profession, you know, bloated sales forces, it's always had this kind of like negative connotation to it, or just more of like a junior, you know, kind of role. You think of like a used car salesman.
Or boiler room.
Yeah, exactly. But salespeople aren't like that these days. The world of sales is changing. It's going from a shark type environment to a consultative, educational type environment. The data that's available to salespeople and buyers is blowing up. You know, for example, buyers can find out anything they want about your company pretty much before they have a conversation with you. But likewise, I mean, you can do the same thing when you're, you know, searching, you know, about your buyer. You have more data on potential companies and potential buyers at those companies than you've ever had before. You're able to target, you know, VCs are putting money into those companies that are building for salespeople. Engineers who used to build, you know, three, 4 years ago when social was hot, people were building, you know, the top engineers were building apps for Facebook and Twitter and trying to build their own social networks. And I think now that's moved into not only into SaaS, because people are realizing that they need to generate revenue for their products. They can't just, you know, get a million users and sell for, you know, get an acqui-hire from Facebook for, you know, $50 million or $100 million, but they actually need to build real revenue products. And the best way to do that is to sell to people who are making those companies money. And so people are really starting to invest in sales. Even big companies are starting to invest in products for their sales teams. And so the world of sales, not even in, you know, only in tech, but everywhere, is really blowing up. It is, it's expanding faster than ever before. And it's exciting time to be in sales and to, you know, kind of see this, you know, sales revolution happening, because, you know, we're using the same basic pillars of sales that we always have: face-to-face, phone, and email. But everything that's happening right now that's being built is made to enhance each one of those. So we're somewhat in like kind of an enhancement era of sales, and it's been long overdue.
Right. And in the book, you make a joke about how this book might be helpful, or, and it may terrify people whose sales process is still in the Prohibition era.
Pretty
funny.
Yeah.
But you're running into companies like that where they're still doing it the old Glengarry, Glen Ross way?
Yes, definitely. And most of them aren't in tech. You know, most of them are in, you know, kind of older, you know, old school industries. And, you know, they're just run things, you know, kind of in the Stone Age. There are some of them that don't have, you know, a CRM. You know, it's kind of crazy to me that you wouldn't have a CRM. I think, you know, everybody uses LinkedIn, but that's, you know, the extent of some of the technology that these companies are using. Yeah. And they're really doing themselves a disadvantage, because if they invested just a little bit of, you know, time and money into, you know, training their reps the right way and leveraging some of these systems, they would be so much more efficient and would, you know, would make that time and money back in the long run actually very quickly.
Yeah, even just a little bit. Can have a major impact. But I think there are companies that are so overwhelmed, and, you know, in the marketing world, we're seeing this, in the sales world as well. And that's why your book was interesting to me, because you go through about 150 new sales tools, products, software, all those kinds of things. And that's just one, part of the book. In other words, where you talk about how the old way of doing sales, you know, there's still fundamental pillars that aren't going to change, but even as you, the flow of your book, just if I could share that with the listener, they'll understand, you know, the notion of it, but what you do is similar, but how you do it is becoming different. So in other words, you've got, like, you know, building your ideal customer profile, and then finding them, and then, you know, contacting them, targeting people, and segmenting lists properly, and email campaigns, and, you know, all the normal things, nurturing the leads, and how to deal with negotiations and objections and closing the deal. So in other words, you've got all that traditional framework, but it's got a lot of these tools that are out there. And I, you know, at one point I felt like I was drinking from a fire hose because there were so many things out there, but it's interesting. But it doesn't just stop there, because you've even got other things that you're linking to for additional resources. So it's very handy. Now, let me go back and ask you, you say this book is very much for the hunters and the who's this book not for?
Yeah, I'd say, it's for people that are doing mostly outbound. So if you're, one of those fortunate companies where, you've got great content marketing and, people are coming to you and want your product and don't need to get on the phone, they're just coming to you and clicking the buy button and signing up and, or getting on your, not even a free trial, but just, buying your product outright, then you probably don't, you're probably not doing that much hunting. I still think you should, even if you're 100% inbound right now. Mm-hmm. If you have, 20% of your salesperson's time or your time, take that time, go out and define, your, top 50 Fortune 500 ideal, customers that you want to buy, or like the biggest customers that aren't buying that you want to buy, and go out and hunt for them. But mm-hmm. It's very much for the hunters. It's very much for the person who's going out and hunting and doing a lot of outbound, trying to reach out to companies that aren't reaching out to them and get them interested, get them to buy. And then, again, it's not, you got to define your ideal customer profile. It's not spamming and sending, mass messages all willy-nilly and hopefully one, spray and pray basically, and hopefully one lands.
That doesn't
work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You got to be targeted in your list. You're actually pre-qualifying people by putting them on your list. Because based on a bunch of variables that you've already predetermined, that this person is going to be a buyer of yours, whether they, for example, someone who buys a competitor's product or buys a complementary product, they're probably going to be interested in your product. Mm-hmm. So like building a list of those people, that would be a, one variable for your ideal, building your ideal customer profile and building a list of those people. So when you do hit them with the right message at the right time and the right individual within that company, you should have a high success of getting to the next step in that process.
With so much data available, the precision becomes so much more important now, because otherwise you really can waste a lot of time.
Yeah.
Let me just mention something about the inbound, outbound, because don't sell yourself short. At the end of the book, you talk about how a lot of these are the outbound tactics, but they still work beautifully for companies mm-hmm. that do have inbound, which you mentioned. But also, HubSpot, I noticed your book was endorsed by Mark Roberge, their head of sales.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they are the king of inbound marketing, or one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And they have lots of leads coming in. But, they still have an outbound sales group.
Yeah.
So if HubSpot is doing outbound sales, everybody should be doing some outbound sales, I would think. And not just sitting back. Like, I think some marketers may be thinking like, oh, we're just waiting for the leads to come in. You can get some action that way, but there's still a lot for salespeople to be doing.
Yeah, I think the book definitely caters, towards outbound, but there's a lot for people who are doing inbound. And I'm really, I have a strong opinion about making sure you do some outbound, even if you are fully inbound right now. I talk to founders all the time that are like, yeah, we're fully inbound. They give you, a little smirk because, they're proud of it. And they should be. That's a great thing, but you should never be fully inbound. You should always be, have a portion of your time hunting, mm-hmm. because there's no way that you're getting the biggest deals to come to you. There's always more that, could be signing up or buying that are, Fortune 500 or, even your biggest customer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's talk about sales process, because you've built them and you talk about them a lot. And I just want to mention something or quote something from the book. You say a sales process is a repeatable and scalable system in which you engage potential buyers and facilitate them through the stages of your pipeline. And then you go on to say having a process, even if it's weak, is extremely important. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because if you can't measure something, then you can't make it better. And so if you have a process, you can measure things along the way. And then you can tweak them to make it better. So if you're just, doing things kind of with reckless abandon and have no real definition, no real process.
Whenever you have time.
Yeah, exactly. Then you know, if something's missing, you won't know it, and it's not your best, you know, it's not your best campaign. So if you're reaching out to people and it's kind of one-off stuff and you're not tracking things and you're not measuring, you know, the process and the progress, how are you going to know if you're using the wrong message or if your list is a dud? You know, there's so many different variables that you need to be tracking along the way so that you can be optimizing, continually optimizing your sales process. And so, you know, even if you have a weak process, but there's some process there, at least you know, okay, well, from this part in the process to this part in the process is where I'm having the most problems. I need to figure out what the problem is in that area so I can shore that up, and then, you know, the whole process will work better. You know, the more defined you are, the better you'll know exactly what area of the process is failing you, and you can, you know, build a better process for that area of it. But yeah, the mantra is kind of like build, test, measure, optimize.
Yeah, that which can be measured can be improved.
Mm-hmm.
I think people just are uncomfortable measuring themselves.
Yep.
But it works. Social selling is a big topic these days. And mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could talk about that a bit. And just to kick it off, you advise in your book, you know, engage with prospects on LinkedIn and Twitter, but not on Facebook and Instagram. What's going on there?
Yeah. So there's a separation. Facebook and Twitter, I would say are public or big business focused. So Twitter's public, you know, LinkedIn's business focused, but Facebook's private, and you know, Instagram's, you know, those are for your family and friends. There's a line between creepy and
stalker.
And staying in touch. You know, and like LinkedIn and Twitter. Okay, you're staying in touch. You're staying relevant. You're actually like, you know, trying to build a rapport. I get it. But then you get on Facebook and you get on Instagram. You start liking their photos of them and their kids and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, okay, you're getting a little creepy. I've never met you in my life, and I know you want to sell me software, but you know. Now it's going a little overboard. So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it's about social awareness at mm-hmm. the end of the day. So, you know, I stay away from getting involved on Facebook and, you know, Instagram and stuff like that. And I think you can do enough on LinkedIn and Twitter to really, you know, start that fire and start building a rapport.
And some of those things can you talk about some of the things that you could be doing on Twitter and LinkedIn? I think there's a lot of folks that aren't even on those platforms.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You got to be on LinkedIn. Everybody's on LinkedIn, and you know, it's just really great place to share, but also get content that other people are sharing that you can reference when reaching out. Twitter's another area that you can reference, not maybe content, sometimes content, but also just, you know, what the person's interested in. So, for example, you know, if you have a prospect who's based in Boston and they're tweeting about the Patriots winning the Super Bowl or something like that,
or Deflategate,
exactly. You can reference that in, you know, an email to them. It's like, oh yeah, you know, congratulations on winning the Super Bowl. This whole Deflategate thing is, you know, is a load of BS. You know,
but if they're in Indianapolis, you say, hey, you guys were robbed.
Exactly. I mean, you know, whatever you got to say to build that rapport, you know, when you're talking to that person, you can leverage social to give you relevant information so that they know that you're paying attention. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they post a really good article on LinkedIn on their feed, you can reference that. Maybe they'll post, you know, that they just raised, a round of funding, and you can reference that. Hey, congratulations on the new round of funding. You know, Twitter is also really good for understanding the person's tone and understanding how you're supposed, you know, how you should get in touch with that person. So there are VPs of sales that I know that are very like casual in how they interact in general. And, you know, you can tell from somebody's Twitter profile, like, how should I approach this person? Because realistically, like, you want people buy from people. So you want to get the person's guard down as fast as possible and then start building a rapport so you can sell into them. And they're going to buy from you, you know, you as an individual. So if you're on Twitter and you find somebody who's really casual and they're shouting out to people and just acting in a, you know, kind of bro-y, casual manner.
Responsive, yeah.
Yeah, you can understand that tone of that person. And when you reach out, you can mirror that tone. So Twitter's really good for, you know, and that's kind of not a way that a lot of people, I think, use it, but that's a way that they should use it, understanding mm-hmm. someone's tone and how they like to act. And, you know, if you can, you know, sometimes if you can mirror how they act with their friends, and approach that way, you know, you can kind of get, you know, in this case, it's good to kind of get in the friend zone instead of being, you know, in the business zone where they're kind of weary of you and you're just somebody else trying to sell them.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk, before we wrap up, just a little bit about content. How are salespeople using content now in their sales process? Are they using it more? Are they understanding what to do? What role is it playing?
I don't know if they're everyone's understanding it, but the best ones are. They should be using content in their sales process.
So what are the best ones doing?
So there's a product from SalesLoft that just came out that's a browser extension and allows you to pull up relevant content, whether it's your marketing content or content that the, you know, the that, you know, that like sales enablement has pulled together. And, you know, if there's a, you know, if there's an article out there from the Harvard Business Review or something like that, talking about, you know, why sales is getting more technological, you know, you can send that to your prospect and say, hey, you know, I thought you'd, you know, find this interest, you know, find this article really interesting, and keep staying on their radar by sending them relevant content.
But be helpful.
Yeah, be helpful. Be helpful. Exactly. It doesn't have to do, the content doesn't have to do with the actual sell. It just has to be helpful. And if you continue being helpful, you know, it's really not that much extra, and you can do it at scale. You know, I talk about in my book, you know, you want to build a rapport with people, but you want to do it in a scalable way. And so how you do this is you basically build, you know, your lists, and then you segment those lists based on a common denominator. And then when you send out that email, you can add that personalization that is geared towards the entire common denominator. So for example, if I build a list of 1,000 people, you know, and those people are at companies that are, you know, 50 of them are based in Boston, then I can use that whole Patriots thing as my introduction to that email. And when I send that, you know, it's, hey, first name, personalized sentence, and then the rest of the email. And so now I can send that email at scale while personalizing it for all 50 people. So finding that common denominator across the board. So again, when you find content, you could do it the same way. Here, this content's going to be relevant to anybody on my list that does X. And then you take all those people that are on your list that do X, and you send them that link. And so you just sent it to 75 people, and they all think it's personalized because it's targeted, because it's meant for them, and you've haven't spent, you know, your time doing it one-off. I think, you know, when you have a territory and you work at a company like Salesforce, you can start doing things one-off. But when you're a young company and you need to, you know, again, generate more revenue with less resources and be efficient, you got to leverage things like that.
So, Max, if readers took only one thing away from the book, what would you hope it would be?
Yeah, just understanding that the sales game is changing, and that the more efficient teams are going to be the teams that win. And to be more efficient, you have to leverage technology and data that's available to you these days. And it's not hard to do. It's there's a lot of education out there on saleshacker.com. that we've been putting out, and there's in our LinkedIn Sales Hacker LinkedIn community that people have been sharing kind of their problems and challenges and solutions. But you know, there's the world of sales is changing, and you know, it's not that hard to keep up. But just recognize that you should. There's, you know, there's a whole world of data and tools available to you, and taking some time to understand how to leverage that is going to do wonders for your business.
Even just a little bit of time every day, just like you talk about. Even if you just prospect 30 minutes a day, it'll have a big impact. Before we wrap up, let me ask you a couple of questions. Are there any recent marketing or sales books you've read that you recommend?
Yeah, so Sales Acceleration Formula from Mark Roberge is a great one. Mm-hmm. And then Predictable Revenue from Aaron Ross. He's got one coming out with Jason Lemkin. I think it's around February, his second one. What else?
End of your book, you actually have another list of recommended books. This is a list, and what would you say? It's tool rich. Got just like the one you mentioned from SalesLoft. It's just full of that stuff. And I kind of had to read this sitting in front of the computer because there were just too many things that I had to stop and check out. A little bit of forehead slapping, thinking, whoa, how did I not know about that? Are there any marketing or sales books, business books that you're looking forward to getting into?
Looking forward to getting into, I mean, I have a list of books that I'm looking forward to getting into, but you know, these days it is just pressed for time. I think I think I find that most of my learnings come from actually having conversations with people in the industry that are currently doing things that have, you know, have been done differently or haven't been done in the past. I mean, the sales development role in general is an old title, but a very new role. So having conversations with those types of people is where I get most of my learning. But, you know, one of my favorite books was 48 Laws of Power. Another one is Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino. I never read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but I heard good things about that as far as, you know, basic finances and stuff goes. And things that, you know, it's funny, they don't teach you that in college, but they teach you, you know, how many cells are in a leaf or, you know, what what sedimentary rock is. But, you know,
well, let's just go even further. Exactly. In your book, you say they're not even teaching this stuff at business schools or in MBA schools.
Exactly. There's no sales courses. I mean, there's very few sales courses at any college in the United States. Probably four universities offer one course or something like that. Mm-hmm. And sales is in everything you do. I mean, even every time you make a decision, you're selling yourself on to do one thing or the other. You know, when you talk to someone else, you know, there's a conversation that's happening and likely you're selling them or you're selling yourself on whether to believe them, you know, so it's always occurring, yet, you know, nobody goes into it. And so, you know, we go into the psychology, we go into the technology, we go into the human capital side of things, we go into the even, you know, financial side of things and try and take a pretty overarching look at, you know, areas you can be more efficient in the process and hopefully people get a lot out of it.
Yeah. Hey, Max, you've been working hard on behalf of the military veterans with your Sales Hacker Veterans Boot Camp. And as a military veteran, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate that and how much that means to veterans. Can you say a little bit about that program?
Yeah. So we did our first one in San Francisco in April. On April, was it 17th or 18th and 19th? And you know, the plan is to deliver our 2-day sales training course to veterans in cities all across the U.S. and place them in tech companies. And I think the realization was that there's a huge shortage in sales development reps that are trained that can kind of hit the ground running when they come into companies. You know, so the supply and demand problem is there. And then there's a huge amount of, you know, I think it's like 265,000 veterans coming home each year that are looking for careers. And those two things, you know, first of all, the supply and demand kind of are equaling there. So there's, you know, shortage of SDRs and supply of these vets. But when you look at the core, you know, personality traits and characteristics of a veteran, they very much equate to, you know, what you would look for in a salesperson. So disciplined, hardworking, team oriented, but leaders, you know, follows orders, follows directions, and the list goes on, you know, competitive. The list really does go on. You know, they're not going to get thrown off if they get told no on the phone for, you know, 8 hours straight. They're going to come in the next day and be ready to rock. And so if we can give someone like that the, you know, appropriate training and introduce them to hiring managers at tech companies, which need them, it's really a win-win-win, you know, all around. And so we want to run those in as many cities as we can get to as fast as we can. And there's the saleshacker.com/, you know, war veterans page that you can go and sign up for a location. And how we're going to do it is basically if we get, I think it's 20 people to sign up for a location, we'll open up a training there. And so right now we're just trying to fill the database with veterans so we know where to go with the training.
Well, that's great. And it's good for business. It's good for the veterans. And also, you know, having been in the military, I can tell you that one of the perceptions that is not understood, or one of the truths that is not understood, is that guys who are in the military are some of the most creative problem solvers you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. You think that all they're doing is follow instructions, but not at all. They were some of the smartest, most creative people I ever met. They may not have gone to, you know, the great universities or whatever, but they were very smart and very resourceful.
Yeah.
So I guess you've discovered all that too. So how can listeners find out more about you, your book, and your conference?
Yeah, so saleshacker.com is where all of our conferences, our blog, all of our content goes. And then our Sales Hacker LinkedIn community is fantastic. It's a fantastic resource. We have some of the best in the business that are currently doing things at their companies, high growth companies, kind of chiming in Again, solving, you know, problems and, you know, challenges. And then
and anybody can join that?
Anyone could join. Yeah, it's open to everyone. Open discussion. I still moderate everything that's posted. Mm-hmm. So it's all educational and informative. There's like a promotions tab, but it's completely separate of the discussions. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing, you know, there's no spam, no promotion in there. You can just get, you know, straight education, ask questions and get answers from people who are, you know, super willing to help and really understand the game. And then we have Hacking Sales, books available on Amazon. If you like it, please leave a review. Love to hear from people who've read it and that have, you know, that it's helped them. And then, yeah, we have our conference. Our next big conference is in San Francisco on November 5th, and we'll be launching that within the next 2 weeks.
Great.
And then we also run another conference called SASTR, the SASTR Annual, and that's a conference. It's about 5,000 SaaS, so software as a service founders and, you know, VCs and Fortune 500 companies, and that's February 9th to the 11th. Of next year. So check that out if you're in interested in, you know, the software business or software industry as a whole.
We'll make sure to include links to all of that in the show notes at marketingbookpodcast.com. The name of the book is Hacking Sales, the Playbook for Building a High Velocity Sales Machine. The author is Max Altshuler. Max, thank you very much for being on the Marketing Book Podcast.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
And that closes the book on another episode of the Marketing Book Podcast. Links to everything mentioned are in the show notes at marketingbookpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can subscribe to the podcast newsletter to get notified of every new episode, its show notes, links, and other useful things. Also, at marketingbookpodcast.com, there are about 20 free marketing ebooks on a wide variety of topics that you might find helpful. If you're one of the people who have left an iTunes or Stitcher review, I really appreciate it, and it has more impact than you might realize. A one-sentence review shoots the podcast way up in the listings. Finally, I'd love to hear from you. To send a message, just go to marketingbookpodcast.com and click on the Contact Podcast button. Got an idea or suggestion? Maybe I'm doing something wrong? Let me know. Thanks again for listening to the Marketing Book Podcast. Till next time.